Welcome back to Three Black Dots with Dr. Tiffany, Dr. Karen, and Dr. Zanetta.
I don't know how long I'm gonna last tonight, y'all. I am tired.
You look, all of us, all of us.
Deep down, had a tired. I've been at work every single day in the office when I wasn't supposed to be, and there early. So
yeah, and
you're
not supposed
to be there every day.
No, we're working from home. So
wait,
we have our clinic days. That's the beauty of academia. We have our clinic days. And we have our administrative days.
That's fair. That's fair.
So yeah, I haven't slept well in the last three nights. I just haven't been able to sleep, and today I've just been like,
yeah.
This week has been like struggle bus all week, so.
Yes. Okay, so struggle. I think we need to play our theme song because it has been so busted all week long.
Well, actually, now my workouts have been on point this week. My workouts have been on point. Well, thanks to the Savage remix.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Look, I haven't had a workout. I have to go for yoga. I need to handle my business. Where is that thing? Try and play it. You got it too.
Okay, you got it.
It make you want to move to Texas. It's
well, if some of us are.
I know. I was like, man, Tiffany, moving to Texas.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
I just don't understand how Beyonce just keep doing that. Like, it ain't right.
I'm sorry. Okay, we had to. Okay, yeah, I woke
so up. Many monsters there. So many.
I totally needed something to boost me this morning, so I was like, I was not feeling it.
Yes, yes. The whole bank account matching it, I was like,
yes. Pulling out in my 2 feet.
It, right? I was like, oh, I got to send this to Karen right here.
And I'm going to take
that. I mean, on principle. On GP, she needs to be on this in the 2-seater. All right.
And I'm all stressed from this week. My eyes twitching.
We got the energy right. We in a better space to receive.
I don't know. Poor Karen.
Huh?
Stressed.
It's too much. It's too much. I'm up here coloring.
Oh, that sounds good. I could get my. I can't though. My eyes want to be great. I won't be able to color in the line, and I'll be pissed off.
Y'all, let me tell you this though. I'm gonna tell you this part. This is how much of a struggle bus week this has been. I was in a meeting yesterday. And of course, I was in the meeting and the kids were in the basement. And all of a sudden, I hear Brandon yell out, Benji's stuck behind the sofa. Come help. I'm like, so I go down to the basement, unstick Benji from the sofa. Come back up. As I'm walking back into the living room, I hear, Dr. Avery, maybe you could help us with this.
Oh, no.
I said, unmute. I was like, yeah, my kid got stuck behind a sofa. So I actually haven't been here the last 10 minutes. So if you want me to help, like, can you recap what you were just talking about me? Because you can't even like.
You can't lie. You can't say like I missed the last sentence.
Uh-uh. I said, and I just walked back upstairs and just heard my name. So. And luckily everyone laughed.
Did you drink a wine?
Today. Yeah.
Okay.
Cab and Basie blend. Really good.
I actually went to the liquor store and found my salted caramel again, so I'm happy. I put the last two off the shelf.
Oh. Mm-hmm. We would ask Janetta what she's drinking, but it's probably like water. What is it, Janetta?
With some ice in it. Thank you.
Ooh,
I'm doing some ice water.
Ice. Yes.
Water on the rocks.
Thank you. Water on the rocks.
It's ever clear.
Yeah. So and then I'm so lame because I mean I've noticed if I drink my sodas too late then I'm awake at night. So I have to drink my sodas earlier.
Really, Z?
You know, Karen, this is why you love me though. This is why you love me.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Who else do you know that can't handle a caffeinated beverage after 6 p.m.? You know? I got some ice water.
That bad boy.
I got some ice water.
Oh, that's stupid.
So what has really irked me, as you all know, about all of the disparity stuff, right, is Karen.
Put your head up, Karen. She ain't even said nothing yet. You'd already gave up.
I'm like, here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
Come on, Tiffany. Y'all gone, girl.
He was, okay. Whenever people are saying, if we're getting in these discussions, right, and it's like, it's not genetic. We're not going to talk about genetics, and we're not going to talk about comorbidities and all of that because it's blaming the victim, which I don't think it is. That's a different discussion. But then I started to think about, well, are we censoring ourselves because we don't want the white people to hear what we're saying to each other of like, hey, you could be doing better with your diabetes, not with COVID, right? Not with COVID, but with like cancer, for example, or screening or stuff like that, right? And to me, it seems like we're very worried that the narrative is then going to become that Black people are inferior genetically, or Black people just are unhealthy because we're unhealthy and we're lazy and we're whatever.
Well, that's what people believe anyway.
Correct. And
that's
so
the narrative.
Do we not want to talk about that because we're trying not to feed into that narrative? And so we're not talking about things that could really help?
Who's not talking about it? Who? Hmm? Who's not talking about it though? Like, I mean,
we
talk about that all the time. So who's the
But as you know, the thing that has really gotten me hot in these last few weeks is this idea of we're going to shut down any talk about, you know, comorbidities and diet and health habits, because we're only talking about the societal things that are contributing to disparities, full stop. Which I think in a pandemic, in an infectious disease pandemic, is appropriate. But what has irked me is as people sort of jump on the bandwagon of talking about disparities, then saying, well, we're not going to talk about comorbidities or
I think some of it is that becomes the only part of the discussion, because there's so much more that goes into it, because we already know, we know about the obesity, we know about the diabetes and hypertension, but what about, I will bring up COVID. What about the fact that, you know, we are essential workers and it's harder for us to, you know, make some of these lifestyle decisions, because I kind of look at it too, as you're almost beating a, not a dead horse, but man, we're on our last leg. And it's, you know, you don't want to eat all these unhealthy foods, but it's hard. It's hard to make a healthy meal when you're working 2 and 3 part-time jobs. So I think it's like, how do you have a conversation that maximizes all of the issues and brings up the points in such a way that you just don't berate people? I mean, it's like, you know, and so I think we know Van Jones had a good article in CNN today, and he was saying that he's at risk, right? Like, he's like, look, I work too much. I mean, he's not poor, but he works too much. He's too stressed. He's a pre-diabetic and he's hypertensive. And he was like, I did this to myself. Like, I need to make that step and change my lifestyle. I want you to do this too.
But he has the liberty. He has the liberty to make the choice to change his lifestyle. There are men that cannot make that choice, right?
Right.
We are not paying people living wages. I just realized that the minimum wage in the friggin' country is still $7.25. Like, what the heck? Like, are you kidding me? That's the minimum wage. And even when you think about the way that even waitresses and that kind of stuff is paid, we've got to have a different model. People just can't do it. They're forced to work 2 and 3 jobs. Like Van Jones doesn't have to, like you said, he doesn't have to.
Right.
So it's great for him to say, join me, but are you going to pay that person's rent? Right.
Right.
But that's what, and I understand the frustration that Tiffany has, where it's like, it can't be an all or nothing discussion, right?
Right.
There has to be acknowledgement of, yes, people need to change the way that they eat, but here are some of the barriers to doing that, right?
Right.
So you figure people are spending $40 a day
easy
on food, right?
Easy.
You think about the capacity to build wealth. You know how I was able to build wealth? Because I scraped and scrounged, asked my child, right? She will tell you that she did not have the brand name sneakers, right? And even if I could have had, if I had the money, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave a legacy. And if that means that I need to be cognizant of the fact that I've got to cook, you know, to save a few bucks. I'm going to do that, right? So that I can do something for my child and not have to worry about even like how I'm going to pay for retirement, right? So I think the challenge is that, you know, people also now don't even know how to take care of themselves. They don't know how to cook because we've had generations now where there's not been that family unit, right?
Right.
When I was coming up, it became a little bit more lax where we did have dinner at our, like, whatever. But think about it. I mean, maybe you guys do. Maybe you guys do have dinner every night with your families. But I can tell you that
there
are communities, there are folks, particularly in the community, that don't do that.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, I'm always reading articles, but most people who are able to have dinner with their families, that automatically puts you in a different wealth bracket. Right. The fact that you're able to sit and have a dinner, that alone, you know, separates the haves and the have nots. And so, you know, I guess really, where do we start with this? You know, because I mean, it's really daunting. All of the issues that are going on, it's depressing.
We have to take a break. We'll be right back. Like what you hear? Make sure you rate and subscribe. Three Black Docs is available wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's, you know, and that's why I asked you, Karen, if you had numbers of Black oncologists or Black women oncologists, because that's really the issue, right? And I think that's kind of what I struggle with and why I wanted to do Cancer Call, because there's only so many of us. You know what I mean? And like,
but I don't even think you have to be a woman.
No, you don't, but we're women, so I just was curious about.
I think it's harder to get the demographics that way, but
yeah, I didn't know if you could or not. That's part of the issue of like, how do you get us to all the people who need us?
So if there are Black oncologists where we know most of the Black folk are, which is like Southeast, you know, U.S., it's the coastal, you know, it's the coast, right? And Chicago and Detroit. So I'm information.
You know, on top of that, you have to layer what we all talk about, which is the institutions, right, that we have to work in to practice, well, and like your own personal and professional unhappiness there on top of being available. I mean, I'm probably just talking about me, so I'm just talking about me. But so part of the reason that I tried to approach it like with Cancer Call, because I was like, all right, well, how can I leverage and reach the most amount of people? It's not me sitting in the clinic at a big hospital taking all the new diagnoses, you know what I mean? Just as they come.
So remember that the majority of Black oncologists do not work in an academic setting, number one.
Right.
Is like living the good life now, right? She understands,
right.
The other side, right? The majority of us are not working in academia. So I can tell you from a radiation perspective, there are fewer than 20 Black radiation oncologists in academia in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, we know that most of us go into private practice, which is fine, but that's what the hard piece is making sure that we can track where people are. And if they're not members of organization, if they're not keep their membership current, and if they're not updating, it may be more of a challenge to find out where people are working. That's the hard piece. It's not as simple as saying, well, where are people? Now, I had a colleague of mine who said we might be able to pull that data through looking at claims databases, but that's a whole lot of work.
That's tricky.
I
almost wonder if you can do it through like the certifying boards to see like who are the certified. No, because you have to declare race, don't you?
No, it's optional.
Mm.
And that's the challenge. So in radiation, I've been saying to them, you need to, this should be a requirement, like for that. And even for, so what is it? NRMP? I think NRMP data is definitely, they do require race ethnicity for like applicants into residency programs. And maybe you can track it through that. But again, it's another step. So it's not as simple as just pulling register data from ABR, who's my certifying body for board certification. You know, it's just not that simple.
I'm curious. Well, then it seems like maybe fellowship, or for you, residency.
Yeah.
You know, just to see how many people are tracking through.
Well, we know that.
Oh, you do? Okay.
So, yeah, if you look at Kirkville,
So he's published that data both for medical oncology and for radiation oncology.
Okay.
With the percentages of
right
of us. But I, to Tiffany's point, I think there's a difference in terms of the number of practicing oncologists right. available versus right. trainers. Again,
right.
the practicing oncologists is really what we want to see.
Now, that's sad that you can't even get that number. I mean, that's like COVID testing. Just give us a number.
Right.
That's pretty sad. We can't even, because I'm thinking on my hand, like, okay, well, I know about 10.
And I don't know. I think it's not as easy. I'm like, shouldn't it just be like, just like you just sort the data? Like, don't you just sort the Excel spreadsheet of your 40,000 members, like by race, ethnicity?
Right. Because when I was on Facebook, I remember someone reached out to me from California because she was trying to find a Black hematologist. Because someone in the family had myeloma and she found me. And I was like, but wait, you're in California. Like, what?
So my hope is that we will get that data so that we can actually know. And I want it on a map because, number one, I'm a visual person. So I want to be able to see it, but also mm-hmm. it'll allow overlay incidence data, right? And also mm-hmm. like
outcomes yeah.
data. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm trying to do, but I have to take it step by step with them.
Yeah. And, you know, if we have that data, it would be nice if we were to do a live podcast to just say, here's the problem. Like, we only have 100 Black oncologists, you know, in the country. It would be nice to have some hard numbers. I know you've been working on it for 5 years, but.
Well, no. I mean, so I can get you numbers. I can get you the numbers. I can't tell you where they are yet.
Right.
Which I thought was Tiffany's question. Right. I can get you the numbers. The numbers are going to be okay, but I think the numbers are not enough because we need to know where they are.
Right.
Because if they're working in Utah, they have no Black people. What am I going
to
do?
And that's the thing, because it's like, but you're not like obligated to practice in places where the majority of your patients are going to be Black. You know what I mean? So it's like, Naples. You know, you get to live your life where you want to live your life.
There you go.
Right.
Figure out where people are.
And you get to make the money that you want to make and you get to do all those things. You know, for me, it's about how do we take the few of us where we are, maybe not in a Black place, maybe not practicing clinically, me, but still reach people the way they need to be reached. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. And maybe that gets back to like why we're doing the podcast and, you know, why I wanted to start the company. I wanted to start all of those things, you know, because I think it's about amplifying our voices and getting the reach, you know, getting to the people who need to get us regardless of where we are or what we're doing, you know.
Right.
Right. But then it goes into how many jobs do you want? Right. I mean, that's part of the challenge in academia, right? Where you get.
Yep.
The Black text.
It really is. And so, can I tell you, I'm so glad my mentors, I love my mentors. This brother was, he's an internal medicine doc who was at Duke, but he actually ran the internal medicine over at the VA, the Durham VA hospital. And I remember when I was in medical school and I was getting my PhD and I needed to come back onto the wards in a year and I hadn't been in clinic in 5 years. I was like, oh my God, please help me. Like, come. Like, help me, please. Like, and I went to his clinic and all kind of stuff. And so he's been a huge mentor of mine ever since. But here's the deal. I said to him, I had an opportunity to become the diversity and inclusion officer at an institution. He was like, why do you want to sit there and tell white people how to behave? Right? Like, that's part of the challenge is that we have to say, how do we really, what's the best way to spend our time? Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that I would love to be a resource, and that's kind of been my whole thing. It's like to develop a platform for the timely and accurate dissemination of information that's relevant to communities of color, right? Like, that would be great to do that. But I don't know, like, if it can be a one-off. I don't know if it's just about, like, a single conversation. I think there needs to be something greater, and that's where the advocacy piece comes in. I know I come back to that all the time. But it's really about getting the community engaged and involved so they understand like the importance. So this is a first step, I believe, but I don't know.
It's not the only step.
No, it's not.
It's a part of the puzzle. Yeah.
But we come back to what we want, like what we come back to, like what we like. You know, like I always come back to like, well, that's why we need something like Cancer Call, where I can be in North Carolina or I can be in Texas. talking to somebody wherever. You know what I mean? Times however many Black oncologists there are, something like that, you know.
But so that's part of the calculus that we need to have too, in terms of thinking about how we develop our platform.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just talking about me. Yeah. Oh, no.
And see, I'm coming from it from a Black patient perspective. Like, how can we get patients to, how can we help them advocate for themselves? Because it will be impossible for all Black patients to see all Black physicians. Yeah, and honestly, there are some Black physicians I don't want patients. You know, I may not want people to see, you know? So, you know, how can we teach our people what set their expectations, you know, before they even set foot in the clinic?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Three Black Docs is not intended as medical advice. All opinions are our own. Three Black Docs is produced by Wings Productions.
Like what you hear? Make sure you rate and subscribe. Three Black Docs is available wherever you get your podcasts.